At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Coming up 1 hour from now, pick six at six. You'll hear from Dan Quinn and more after day one of phase three of OTAs. Right now, time to talk about it more, though, with someone who I spent part of that practice with. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast from Monumental Sports, of course, alongside J.P. Finley. Mitchell, hello again.
How you doing, Craig? You guys can play me in with a Vici anytime. That gets me fired up.
Nice. Add the air horns to it next time, Anthony. And we got our own Mitch Tischler remix, which is really what this show is about, is making sure our guests feel nice, comfy, and at home. By the way, how terrible is your drive to Baltimore? Because my drive back in the office from Ashburn was absolutely terrible.
Oh, I mean, this is going to take me 3 hours. It's a disaster.
Yeah, instant traffic, just add water, and that is the day we are having in the DMV. Of course, Mitchell, be up there tonight. The Fever and Mystics, you can hear the Monumental Sports broadcast simulcast here on the Team 980. However, Mitchell, talking football now and what we saw today. Speaking of a sad Mitch Tischler, how sad were you that the O-line, D-line drills were as far away from us as the media as you could possibly imagine?
I took it as a personal affront that they wouldn't let me get up close and personal with the O-line and D-line with the big guys over there. But from afar, I could use my 2020 long-term vision and get a couple glimpses of what was happening over there. And it was good to see Josh Connerly out there running around. It was good to see Brandon Coleman working a little bit at guard over there and seeing those guys do what they do.
I was going to say, so what did you see? I also tried to watch a little bit over there, but ultimately defaulted to the things that were mostly happening in front of me. Obviously, we only got 7-on-7. There's no 11-on-11. There's no pads. But what did you see, even in just terms of where everybody's working with Connerly, with Coleman, with that offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, certainly one thing that stands out, and it's a Dan Quinn staple, is those rookies don't necessarily get those first team reps. They don't necessarily get the reps. And you know, let's be honest, we're at an OTA here. There's no pads. For O-line, it's mostly, you know, hand placement work and foot placement and steps and all those different things. They don't get into a whole lot of lining up 5-on-5 and doing a whole lot. So you're really kind of trying to read who's lining up next to who in the two-man drills. And Brandon Coleman spent a lot of time over there playing guard, both on the left and the right side, but more so on the left side there. And you saw Trent Scott getting those first team left tackle reps with Wiley getting the quote-unquote first team right tackle reps. Now, obviously, Connerly got plenty of work in there as well. But one thing I love to see, and, you know, anyone who played, you know, freshman high school football, you know, went through it, but when it was Wiley's turn to go in the one-on-one drills, he was up against Josh Connerly, who was holding the pads for him. When they were doing the double team work with, you know, guard and tackle, you saw Connerly having to hold the pads for what we, you know, would assume are the starters or the guys who would be getting the first team reps work. So it was, you know, there's not a ton that you can take away from O-line here when they're running around in shorts and a t-shirt. And, you know, I don't like that I didn't see Laremy Tunsil there a lot. Obviously, it's voluntary. He can skip it all he wants. You know, for these guys who are new to the team, I'd like to see them spend more time around the team, get to know everybody. All that being said, they have, you know, tons of work coming up between, you know, the mandatory camps and when we get to training camp and obviously through the season to get all that stuff worked out. And because they're just in shorts and a t-shirt, it's not the end of the world that he wasn't there.
So I agree on the Tunsil part of it. Like, you'd like to see everybody there. Like, being there is better than not being there. How much does it actually move the needle in the fall? I don't think that much for a guy like Tunsil. Same thing, frankly, for Lattimore and for Terry McLaurin. That said, Mitchell, one of the things I have spent mental energy thinking about today and a little bit of time on the show today is thinking, like, okay, well, why are they not there and what's it going to take to get them there? Do you foresee any kind of contract shenanigans with Marshawn Lattimore or Laremy Tunsil? Or are these just vets who are like, this is voluntary, I don't want to go?
You know, it's kind of tough to speculate on that because for all we know, you know, there was a wedding, there was a, you know, a graduation, a birthday, or, you know, whatever may be happening in those guys' lives. And it is voluntary, so I don't want to really go too far down, you know, that matrix. To me, when we get to the mandatory minicamp in 2 weeks, if those guys aren't there, then I think we have to kind of start asking real questions. You know, Laremy Tunsil, if he wants a new contract or wants more, you know, money, he's at least proven it on the football field that he deserves it. Certainly not in the burgundy and gold yet, but we've seen it over the years from him. You know, he's a star player. Marshawn Lattimore has no leg to stand on, no pun intended, when it comes to, you know, trying to ask for more money or a different contract or guaranteed money. I mean, quite frankly, you know, you and I talked about it a little on the sideline, but heading into the draft, you know, there are needs across this team. This isn't a team that, you know, is purely picking best player available because, you know, they're kind of ready to go with what they got. That cornerback room to me is one of the most troublesome groups on this roster because there's an expectation that Marshawn Lattimore is going to return to his at least Pro Bowl form, or there's a hope there. But if he doesn't, you know, that corner room before Trey Amos came in doesn't have a whole lot of names in there that would inspire confidence for you. And I think when I look at the corner group, you know, if you have a front four that gets after the quarterback really well, maybe you can get away with a little bit of a weaker secondary / corner contingency. But they clearly, you know, put an emphasis on wanting to stop the run, figure out how to be better against the run, which I think is very important. But because of that, the expectation has to be, at least from, you know, the secondary coaches and players, that they're going to have to cover longer. And the fact that that corner situation is as thin as it is troublesome. Now, all that being said, Trey Amos, I thought, looked very, very good today. And, you know, as good as you can look in an OTA, I think that he carries himself well. I think you saw some of the traits that this coaching staff wants to see out of him. We saw him with one interception and a second near interception on the sideline. You saw him running step for step with receivers on both deep routes, comebacks, outs, slants, crosses across the board. I mean, you know, I think you saw a lot of what you'd like to see out of a player running around in shorts and a t-shirt in, you know, 7-on-7 drills. But at the end of the day, I'm much more, I would say, maybe worried or frustrated by Lattimore not being there than I am either Terry or Tunsil, for that matter. So it'll be interesting to see when we get to mandatory stuff in 2 weeks where these guys draw the line, if they're even trying to draw a line in the sand, or if we're just reacting to what we're seeing in front of us today.
Mitch Schisler, co-host Beltway Football Podcast, with us. Do you feel like Quinn should have just said something then? Or, like, sometimes I feel like it's smart for coaches, execs, whoever, to get out ahead of stuff and fill the void that with the truth. That way it's not, you know, everyone's not speculating. Sometimes it's like, whatever, do whatever you want. I don't really care. Like, did Quinn, I don't say do, like, that feels way too talk radio-y, talk TV, like, nonsense to me. But, like, do you think that there is a responsibility to, like, fill the void here, or do we just wait and see what happens and it is what it is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Dan Quinn and honestly this coaching staff have enough equity built in where I don't think we could take them to town for something along this. And at the end of the day, it very well could be much ado about nothing. I mean, you know, once we get to the mandatory stuff, you can kind of start digging into it a little bit more. Could Dan Quinn have squashed it and made it a absolute non-story by saying, you know, whatever the reason was for folks not being there? Sure. But at the same time, the more Dan Quinn talks about it, the more breath he breathes into the story, the more, you know, the more that folks can, you know, pick apart his wording, how he said it, and all those different things and create, you know, make this a bigger deal than it is. Certainly because it happened in front of us today on our first, you know, OTA day, really being out there and seeing the group, I think, you know, it's going to create a little bit of a storyline amongst, you know, media and fans and folks around the league. But at the end of the day, you know, I think we have to, you know, look at this in a bigger picture situation where, you know, this is voluntary. Players do have the option to miss these things. Do we want them there? Sure. But at the end of the day, you know, if the coaches aren't bothered by it, if the coaches aren't outwardly bothered by it, then until we start seeing it be, you know, impacting important parts of this offseason, I don't know that we should read too much into it.
I think that's probably right. And I think it also depends on what the truth is. If Tunsil or Lattimore is asking, like, if there's a contract situation and I'm Dan Quinn, I don't want to talk about that. So I'm just going, it's voluntary. They don't have to be here. Next question. And you okay. Hey, well, he didn't say whether it was or it wasn't. If they have something that's not contractual and you just know, oh, he's working on his own. It's just this is what he does this time of year. It's Laremy Tunsil. Like, I don't mind answering that. I think you have to be flexible with these things. But alas, we wait till next week and maybe we ask Dan specifically why they're not there if they're not there next week. Again, Mitch Tischler is with us, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast. Amos's big day was definitely the big thing that I walked away with, Mitchell. Was outside of Amos, what was the big story for you today or the big takeaway that as you're walking to your car through the rain today that you're like, huh, that was interesting. That's worth chewing on a little bit.
I thought Mikey Sanders still looked fantastic. And it's weird to say that in an OTA, but working mostly out of the slot today, didn't do a whole lot on the outside. He was physical. He was quick. He had a number of PBUs. There was a really nice play with Deebo Samuel running kind of a little square in out of the slot. And Deebo used a little bit of his size. I mean, you know, again, not in pads, so, you know, they're not going, you know, they're not trying to kill each other. But Debo's a load of a receiver and a big square body. And Mikey did a great job of absorbing the contact and then getting out in front of him and you know, almost having to come back to the ball to break up that little in pattern. And I just, you know, we saw a lot of really good stuff out of Sanders still last year. And I had no doubt that he was going to continue to grow and build and get better as his NFL career continued. But to make a statement like that, you know, in your first OTA, and as you know, those offensive and defensive players like to bark at each other a little bit. And Mikey's not the biggest trash talker in the world, but his play certainly allows some of those other guys to get loud. And it creates great competition and it's a lot of fun. And quite frankly, it makes everybody better from quarterback to receiver to, you know, the defensive side of the ball. So that was great to see.
If you had 10 questions to ask Jaden Daniels, how many of them would you have spent on the sides of his arms?
Listen, the Commanders' social media crew did him quite a favor with the picture they put out of him looking huge. And granted, if you were to sit there and, you know, flex on him, I bet those biceps pop a little bit. Seeing him in person, he definitely looks a little stronger, a little bit bigger. Certainly below the belt, he looks, you know, put together, a little more thick, as the kids like to say. But I don't know that he's this. I don't know that it's this totally transformed body. But I will tell you, coming off of 1 year ago, talking about Emmanuel Forbes gaining 17 pounds in the offseason and all of that talk, if you were to tell me that Jaden Daniels gained 17 pounds, I wouldn't question you that much. And so I thought it's good to see that he's clearly putting in the work and, you know, trying to grow that body and become a little bit more durable. But, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, I think, said it best in that he's still kind of scrawny, and that's just kind of the body shape that he has.
Yes, and that didn't stop 85 questions in Jaden's press conference today from being about, sorry to go back to it, but may I ask another question about if you got jacked or not? Very, very funny. I thought Jaden handled it well, including when he ran away at the end.
Right. He's just so cool, calm, and collected. It's part of, you know, when we talk about this NFL schedule, you know, big picture with all the primetime games and all that, like, those are games that, you know, not taking any shots at Kirk Cousins here, but, you know, those are games that not every player always gets up for or is able to handle kind of the, not just the pressure, but the change in schedule of the week, the later game, the sleep schedule, all those different things that happen. And what we've seen out of Jaden from the time he was drafted until now just further emphasizes the fact that he's pretty unflappable and nothing really gets to him. And, you know, we've seen first round top five draft picks spend off seasons, you know, doing the publicity tours and going on different game shows and missing OTAs and stuff like that because they had photo shoots or commercial spots or whatever it may be. And even though Jaden is the talk of the town, the toast of the town in the NFL, and you're seeing him, you know, being promoted left, right, and center, he has the Nike commercial, he has, you know, all these things happening for him. Clearly, with the work that he put in the weight room, he's putting in the work. And then the fact that, you know, he's here leading the guys at a, you know, voluntary OTA, it's just, you know, everything about him speaks professional, speaks, you know, NFL, long-term NFL successful storyline. And I think that, you know, as he continues to mature and continue on in his career, he's going to be a discussion point. He's going to be an example of how to carry yourself, how to handle fame, publicity, stardom, all those different things. And I am just beyond thankful that we're talking about him in the burgundy and gold.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with us here on the Hoffman Show. Mitch, you have covered this team for a long time. You've seen a lot of dudes roll through here. Have you ever seen a big dude who makes other big dudes look small, quite like Javon Kinlaw? Seeing him in person today broke my brain a little bit. Like, I knew he was huge. I knew he was powerful. I knew all that. I knew he moved really well. Seeing it in person was different. Were you also struck by that?
It was both him and Dietrich Wise are enormous human beings. And I had a couple minutes to talk to Dietrich, and he has a heck of a handshake over there. The only other player that really reminds me of, like, a big guy who makes other big guys look not quite as big was Ty Insecki when he was here.
Yeah, that's a great pull.
But big picture-wise, I talked about a little bit with the defensive line. You know, I think that this front office and this coaching staff put a premium on finding big body guys who are going to be able to slow down the run. Because quite frankly, if I find myself in a NFL football game and it's my quarterback against yours, I don't know how many other quarterbacks in the NFL I'm taking over Jaden Daniels. And so as a defense, if you're able to, you know, shut down that run a little bit and you're able to stop the run with mostly the front four, you know, and front maybe six, if you include, you know, a couple interior linebackers, that creates a lot of opportunity for a defense to be successful. And while I don't necessarily think that there's a guy that I can pinpoint that's going to have maybe double-digit sacks or, you know, have a big-time breakout season getting after the quarterback, at first glance at an OTA, shorts and a T-shirt, I think you're looking at a D-line that is going to be much more stout against the run. And I think that's something that this coaching staff wanted to make happen, and they went out and got players to do that.
Next week, back again, Joe Witt Jr. will speak, I believe, next week. And then I think there's one more voluntary. And then, actually, no, it's next week's voluntary. And then the mandatory is coming up mid-June. So when you go back next week, Mitchell, what's the thing that you want to double-click on after getting your first click in this week? What's the thing where you're like, I want to watch that thing that I saw a little bit, a lot more of, to try to glean more intel?
Yeah, I mean, I guess kind of two things. I'll start defensively, because we're going to talk to Joe Witt Jr. To me, and maybe I'm too high on Trey Amos, I don't know if that's possible or if that's the case, but, you know, we've seen these corners in Joe Witt / Dan Quinn defenses you know, pop almost out of nowhere or a little unexpectedly with interception numbers, with kind of dominance on the outside. And when I look at Trey, when they drafted him to now, having seen him play pretty well, obviously in a 7-on-7 scenario, I'm wondering, you know, what they think his ceiling is. Kind of, are they looking at him? Do they think that this rookie season could be a Trayvon Diggs-esque, you know, rookie season where kind of, you know, a little unexpectedly he goes out and competes for the lead in the NFL in interceptions? And how much of a kind of shutdown corner can he be? Because today, more than, you know, you can look at the numbers, some guys can run real fast, and then when you see him on the field, you know, that speed doesn't always necessarily translate. With Amos, I saw the speed that I wanted to see. I saw the physicality, at least as much as you can show in an OTA there. And I think Joe Witt, I got to believe that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn are pretty excited about it. And then offensive side of the ball, I mean, you look at this receiving room, and, you know, outside of Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel, we can probably nail down a couple other guys that are going to be there. I kind of forgot about Noah Brown. He's been kind of, you know, he's been overlooked since, you know, obviously he didn't play the back end of last year, but he's looked, you know, he played really well last year. I think when he got hurt, he led the NFL in pass interference yards against him. You know, he's a guy who did a really good job of going downfield and using his body to either make big catches or get penalties. You know, I look at a Luke McCaffrey who, you know, I think one thing that that Cliff Kingsbury talked about was him playing a little bit freer because he can, you know, he knows the offense a little bit better. This wide receiver room is going to be a real battle when we get to training camp. You know, Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, you know, Ja'Cory Brooks. I mean, there are a bunch of dudes there who, you know, can easily, you know, make rosters. And then on top of it, you have Jalen Lane, who to me, I think is an interesting player in that I feel like he's almost a little bit of an insurance policy for Deebo Samuel if Deebo ends up walking next year, because what we saw last year from Jalen at Virginia Tech, I think you can kind of compare to a lot of things that Deebo has done in the passing game in his NFL career. And, you know, I want to see Jalen Lane's speed. I want to click in a little further and see how crisp those routes are and how he works against either press coverage, against, you know, back off man, against zone. I want to see the way that he's able to kind of, you know, find openings to get the ball. And then the biggest thing with him is he has the speed on paper. We haven't seen him necessarily be a huge deep threat from college. So I want to see how he tracks the ball on the deep balls. I want to see how he uses his body, you know, to go up and get those 50-50 balls 20 yards down the field, 30 yards down the field, because we know that Jaden Daniels has the ability to make those great throws, but he also has the fearlessness to throw those 50-50 balls and allow his guys to get up and go get it. So Jalen Lane is really a guy that I want to spend a little more time watching and kind of get a feel for where I think he can fit into this offense, because he can do a lot of different things. And obviously, you know, in the special teams, punt return is going to be a big part of it, but I want to see more speed downfield. I want to see them stretching the field, not just sideline to sideline, but end zone to end zone. And Jalen Lane, at least on paper with his speed, seems to be the type of guy that can do that.
For sure. There's a couple routes today where he just ate up ground. You're like, oh, there it is. There's the speed. But doing it against full defenses and with dudes in the way is obviously a very different thing. Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast. Check it out wherever you get your pods. He and JP Finley. Mitchell, good to see you today, my friend. And I presume I'll see you next week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Always good to have you. And by the way, safe travels on however much is left in your torturous trip to Baltimore.
Thank you.
It's Mitch Tischler, everybody, on his way to Baltimore here on the Team 980. When we get back, it's a little bit of a switch gears from the football. We'll get back to the football at 6 with a pick 6 at 6. You'll hear from Quinn. You'll hear from Kingsbury. You'll hear from Jaden Daniels. But 5:45, we'll take a look back at the Eastern Conference Finals from last night, our only chance to talk hoops today. And then next, Mike Rizzo was on the Sports Junkies this morning. And you know, if this show is talking Nationals, it's kind of a big deal. Something big must have happened. Ken Rosenthal, one of the premier baseball reporters and writers out there, wrote a piece in The Athletic saying the Nationals have become one of Major League Baseball's bottom feeders. Rizzo responded. You'll hear it if you missed it this morning with the Junks next on the Team 980.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk about the Eastern Conference Finals in about 15 minutes here on the Hoffman Show. Back to the Commanders OTAs. Pick six at six style coming up at, well, 6 o'clock. Right now, though, I read an article yesterday from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic that I thought was really one of the more fascinating baseball articles I've read in a while. You know, not that I read a ton. You guys know if you listen to the show regularly, like I do not major in Washington Nationals baseball or in baseball, period. If the Nats were really good, we would do a lot more coverage of them in the same way that as the Capitals made their run in the playoffs, we're going to tap in. We only have so much time and space on the show. And frankly, if you want really good baseball coverage from people that watch it all the time, like we have other great options on our station and through our company. Grant and Danny do a great job. You got the Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast with Grant and our guy, Toby Altizer. Like we have great baseball coverage. I'm just not going to be the one that necessarily gives it to you, but I pay attention and I have the big picture in mind, which is why this article from Ken Rosenthal was so interesting. So Rosenthal, who's been a baseball writer forever, obviously you watch him on Fox. He's got the bow ties. He's been writing in The Athletic for a couple of years now. And he wrote a piece for The Athletic where he basically said there's this group of teams that are bottom feeders in Major League Baseball, in teams like the Pirates, for instance, that they just don't spend a ton of money. Their payrolls are minuscule. They're not competitive. And the Nationals, despite the 2019 World Series, have been bad long enough that we should consider them part of that. That they, you know, they obviously kickstarted the rebuild a couple of years ago when they traded Juan Soto and Trey Turner and Max Scherzer, and now years later, after saying initially, oh, this will be a quick reboot, a couple years, 1 year, 2 years, we're now multiple years into this, and there's no end in sight. It's not even that, like, hey, they're still bad now. It's like, how much longer are you going to do it? And in some ways, the impetus for writing this article for Rosenthal is the Major League Baseball draft is coming up here sooner rather than later, and the Nationals have the number one pick in it. So he was asking, like, what's the plan? And if we look at the Nationals' next couple of years, do they have a way of being good? And there is, I think, legitimate criticism of the drafting and player development that has happened in D.C. The Nationals, to their credit, have made a bunch of changes in their personnel department to try to be better on the player development side. But I think the biggest thing that I found that was pretty fascinating is this indictment of the Lerners and of Mike Rizzo for not spending money now, but also what seemed like an assurance that none of the good players that the Nationals have now are going to be Nationals in the long term. And that seems totally unfair, but also might be true. And the unfairness might not be in Rosenthal saying it, but might be in the cruel nature of Major League Baseball's system, where you have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of extreme cost control, no real way, in the same way that you have the franchise tag and bird rights in the NFL and the NBA, to retain your own talent. If a guy's hellbent, or his agent is, I don't know, we'll call him something that rhymes with Schmott Schmorris, Scott Boris, if his agent is hellbent on getting him to free agency, you just kind of have to live with it. And you have to hope that the player either tells Schmott Schmorris, no, I like it here and I would like to stay, you get me the most money that you can, or we'll go to the market and then we'll see if we can drive the price up, but I want to go back, or you lose out on the player. And then you have to make a decision. Are we going to even let that player get to free agency? Because I don't think Juan Soto wanted to go anywhere, but he clearly was willing to go to at least free agency and try to drive up the price. And at that point, the Nationals said, fine, we gave you our best offer. This is all the money that we have, and we're going to get a return for you. And I think what was such a bummer in the piece is that Rosenthal basically says some of those pieces that they get back, as well as guys like C.J. Abrams, are probably going to be in similar boats. And some of them are represented by Scott Boras. So you have guys like James Wood. You have guys like Mackenzie Gore, who are starting to really show promise. Gore leading Major League Baseball in strikeouts this year. And they're just going to be out the door again? That sucks. Why would you ever buy a jersey? And so Mike Rizzo was on with the Sports Junkies this morning, as he is every single week, and wanted to defend some of his record in the midst of this story. First and foremost, the accusation the analysis by Rosenthal that this team has not drafted particularly well as they sit here on the verge of getting the number one pick again. Here is Nationals general manager Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, I guess you could pick at certain draft choices and picks and that type of thing over the last years, and you could find some faults there. But when I look at we've run some of the great players in the game through our system. We've drafted some of the great players ever. We've drafted guys low in the draft that have won Cy Youngs and that type of thing. So there's. I just thought the timing of the article was odd, because we were playing good and we really are seeing the fruits of this frustrating rebuild coming to fruition. But I'm still optimistic. The needle of this team and this organization is pointed north, and it's going to continue to do so until we start winning championships, which I think is in the very near future.
That last part feels crazy. You're gonna win championships in the near future. I know that there's a lot of dudes coming up, and there's even more making debuts like this month, and guys like Woods and Abrams and Gore are like really starting to come together. And maybe if you get a couple of key veterans in here, maybe you could. So maybe it's not crazy that in 2 years the Nationals are contending, or even next year, if you sign a couple of free agents, you contend for the NL East, and then, you know, game on. Let's see how things go. But to start the season, you had not only the worst bullpen in baseball, but one of the worst bullpens in baseball history. Like, the depth of being a champion is something this team currently does not have, and the lack of drafting and development of depth seems to be an issue. That said, if you spend some money, you can fix a lot of stuff. And that is where Rizzo went long on the defense of the current status quo?
I mean, ownership is shown that when they feel that we're ready to win, they spend, and I've never had a problem with that. Hopefully that continues, and I think that the day's coming that we're going to be in a position to win, and to show support. That means buying some free agents and that type of thing. But it's also we went for it in a different way back in the first rebuild. And let us not forget, we've done this before. Ken and the other journalists can point out the flaws of how we're doing this rebuild. It's taking too long and that type of thing. But the one thing they can point to us and not point to hardly any other teams around is we've rebuilt from the bottom up when MLB owned this thing to winning a championship, and we did it in 13 years from start to a championship. And we're, unfortunately had to rebuild again, and we're rebuilding now. It's taken, it's since the Soto trade, it's been 2-3 years of a rebuild, which is painful, and we all know that. But if Ken or anybody else can't see where this organization is as far as talent base and that type of thing, then I don't know what to tell anybody. That's the fans see it, the players see it, the opposing team, the opposition team sees it, and they see the talent and that type of thing.
And that's where the rubber is ultimately going to meet the road. Like, if next year and even later this year, these players continue to come up, and all of a sudden you look around, and there's like 7 starters for the Nationals every single day that are guys that either they drafted or were a part of the return of the Soto trade and the Turner trade and the Scherzer trade. And you have these young players that are at the major league level and producing, then, well, it seems like the talent development has gotten a lot better. It seems like maybe they made some right moves, and certainly not that you're 13 years later after the Soto trade, sweet, we finally did it. Because to me, that's actually not even the best piece of evidence. Like, the best piece of evidence is from the time that Rizzo built it up, really from like 2014-ish, 2015-ish on, the Nationals, as Harper and Strasburg got to the big leagues, and you had different pieces that you added and drafted, and guys like Rendon came up, they were competitive for a long time. It culminated in one championship, and then unfortunately it imploded as Strasburg's arm basically fell off, and all the other things that happened. They don't retain Rendon, which turns out to be a blessing in disguise. So like, you don't go 13 years of building for one championship. It just so happened to turn out that way, but you do go many, many years where you hope to have more years of a championship window than you spent on the building. That is what you're going for. And then you hope that you can maybe even at the end keep that window open longer by making some smart, shrewd moves and or drafting well and keeping your window open versus having to tear it down from scratch again. So the rubber will meet the road here. But I think Rosenthal's piece, if you haven't read it, is worth reading, because it lays out the situation where in 3 years, where theoretically you're like, all right, time for this team to compete. You're going to have a bunch of these dudes hit free agency, leave, and then you're left just staring empty handed. And that is the fear. And that is not one, unless ownership spends the money and Rizzo is able to retain these guys, is not a problem that he is going to be able to solve by doing anything other than getting even more talent in here than the talent that is here / shortly on the way from the minor leagues. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, Eastern Conference Finals took a turn last night in Indiana's favor behind one of the best playoff performances that I can remember watching. We'll talk about it here on the Team 980.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Our Commanders pick six at six is coming up at, well, 6 o'clock, which is about 10 minutes from right now. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Last night, Anthony, the Indiana Pacers took a what type of 3-1 series lead? See if you've caught
a commanding.
On. There you go. He has indeed caught on to my bit because there is no other kind. A commanding 3-1 series lead. By the way, today is the 9-year anniversary of Game 6 Clay.
Dang. Well, yeah. He dropped, what was it, 37 and a quarter?
No, that was 37 and a quarter was a regular season game where he set the record. But he did absolutely lose his mind. Of course, the Warriors then lost the championship. Whoopsie daisies on that one. Whatever happened to that Durant fella that he beat in Oklahoma City? Anyway, the point is that the Pacers last night, powered by a truly remarkable game from Tyrese Halliburton, take a 3-1 lead over the Knicks. It was exactly like I thought it was going to be, Anthony, a hard-fought back-and-forth game. It really comes down to the fact that the Pacers made runs at the end of the first three quarters. I mean, one, this game was played at Indiana's pace. It was 43-35 after the first quarter. Indiana crossed the 100-point threshold before the end of the third quarter. And then, even though the Knicks technically won the fourth quarter 30-28, the gap was too big. It doesn't matter. And Halliburton last night, the 32 points are really important. The 15 assists is an unbelievable number to get in a playoff game. He's got 4 steals. He's got 12 rebounds. But like in some way, you can chalk some of that up to the fact that this game had so many more possessions than the average NBA game, right? When you have more possessions and you handle the ball as much as he does, not that he didn't play fantastic ball, and he's one of the main drivers of that pace, but you accumulate more stats, the 30... points per possession wise, 32, is not crazy over his average. But when you have that many possessions, you'd think you'd also have probably more turnovers than usual. Everything goes up. You know how many turnovers Tyrese Halliburton had last night?
A big fat zero.
That is correct. 32, 12, 15, 4 steals, and 0 turnovers. I'm forgetting the threshold for the numbers, but it's something like I think it's the ninth time that he's done it, right? And it's like 30 points, 10 assists, zero turnovers. Let's pretend those are the thresholds. I don't remember what the actual numbers are, but it's something with zero turnovers. And he's done it 9 times in his career. No other player, I think the stat was, had done it more than 3. Like, when we debate whether or not, like, or how high, and I'm not even playing into the overrated Halliburton stuff, right? Just generally speaking, is Tyrese Halliburton capable of being the best player on a championship team? His superpower, the thing that he does that separates him from other people that have similar skill sets, is that his ability to control play pace, play extraordinarily fast, score, rebound, assist, but not turn the basketball over. And it is, I mean, some basketball nerd somewhere in a front office might have the ability to calculate how valuable, excuse me, that is. But it's hard to quantify because it literally makes everyone else better. Just by having the ball and a chance to do something good without a guarantee of something bad happening. Because sure, someone else could also turn the basketball over with those extra possessions. But if you've turned it over, it's a guaranteed bad thing for your team. And so for the guy that handles the ball the most to be able to dictate play that much at that low turnover rate is... That's superstar stuff. That is best player on a title team stuff. It's different than a lot of other superstars that we've seen, but to me, that pushes him into a different category. And the fact that he's done it 3 times as much as anybody else, and he's like 24 years old or something, is just beyond impressive.
It's funny to me that the Pacers are still, they're the team that's out in front. They have the 3-1 lead. But all everybody can talk about is the Knicks, as opposed to glorifying what you're talking about right now in terms of like Tyrese Halliburton. People are still, you know, questioning whether or not, or just questioning how good of a player he is. And they're just like, he's going out there. He got voted most overrated in these playoffs. All he's did was, you know, come up huge for his team in the clutch. Even in the regular season, like, he was huge for his team in the clutch. And a lot of what he did just continues to get overlooked, and I don't truly understand it. But again, I think it also just speaks volumes to what we have in the NBA in terms of like the parity. It's okay to have, you know, 8, 9, 10 good players. Like, we've never had it. It's usually, you know, super top heavy, but now we're getting to a point in time where we have a lot of good players. Like, can we say Tyrese Halliburton is having a better postseason than Anthony Edwards? And I think Anthony Edwards is the guy that everyone wants to anoint as the face of the NBA. It's a difficult conversation to have, but at the same token, you look at his play, there's merit to the argument. So I salute what the Pacers are doing. They continue to be the underdogs. A lot of people still have Knicks in 7 somehow, some way, based on, you know, how the series has gone. But we'll see. I hope the Pacers end up closing it out.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I would love to see, from a basketball standpoint, the Thunder Pacers. I think it's a really fun matchup. You have a guy in Halliburton who never turns it over versus the ultimate turnover creation defense. Like, that'd be a lot of fun. And, you know, I just think that, you know, Carlisle is such a good coach. I've known that forever. I got to cover him in Dallas when I was down there and he was with the Mavs. Like, he's brilliant tactically, but he also, I think, has a group of guys that just buy in all the way, and it unlocks the best of his coaching. You know, Halliburton doesn't have a huge ego, but he has the right amount that they're not scared of anybody. And it's just a fun watch last night. It was really good hoop. And I think tonight, Game 5, Western Conference is going to be really fun as well. So very much looking forward to a good evening of hoops. We'll talk about it. Actually, I won't be here tomorrow. I haven't said that on the show yet, but Doc will be in tomorrow. So Anthony and Doc will talk about it. And then we'll see how many series we still got to talk about on Friday, if we're previewing the NBA Finals on Friday, Anthony, because that could... That could be a thing. Coming up next, our pick 6 at 6. That is where we pick the 6 best sound bites / 6 biggest storylines of the day from the Commanders, and we talk about them here on the show. Then coming up at 6:30, Mark Ein, Commanders minority owner and chairman and CEO of the Mudbala City Open, is going to join us. So excited for Ein coming up at 6:30. Final hour next of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.